What a beautiful hymn. Come and fill me now. Let the church say amen. Amen. Precious, precious words, and it's one of the reasons why we're doing this series on the Holy Spirit, because we recognize His hunger. Rick, to fill us now in these troublesome and unpredictable times. Good morning. Happy Sabbath to you, and to those who are joining us in worship, we welcome you as well. I want to just express a word of appreciation to the many who helped us make the services for Ron Famineau a success on Thursday. This church was literally filled and took a lot of people taking off from work and rearranging their schedule to make that a successful event. And then the very next morning, we hear of the passing of Randy Abraham's father, also known as Randolph Abraham. And so we will be ministering now to that family. Then I also want to express to Pastor Mike Faison and to Sheila Fortune and the team for the wonderful vacation Bible school held during this past week and for the ministry that took place there. We are very, very grateful. The Spirit is willing. Could you just say amen to that? The Spirit is willing. You know, sometimes, Frank, the most profound truths, we just sit there. But folk, Pastor Dunbar, the Spirit is willing. That's an amen truth. What do you say? And that hymn expressed it. You know, fill me now. And I want to take just a few moments this morning and just talk about the willingness of the Holy Spirit to help us. Now, next Sabbath, of course, we do one service. And some of our first service people kind of fuss at me, but the reason why we do one service on the service Sabbath is because a lot of our ministries start in the morning. And it allows people who want to be involved in ministry to go on and do that and still come back at least to one service. So next week, Sabbath school starts at 10 and the worship at 11:15. But this morning, we get a chance to enjoy together this topic, the Spirit is willing. And then next week for the service, I'll talk about the Spirit is a person. The Spirit is a person. Let's go back to Romans, the 8th chapter. John, let's look at Romans 8, but this time, let's start with verse 5. And then we'll jump down to verses 8 and 9. Romans 8 and verse 5. You see it? Okay, let's look at this together. Everybody reading? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, a dichotomy, Cheryl Brody, is being described here. There is a choice. Listen to me. There is a choice. I can choose to live a Spirit-guided life, or I can choose to live a flesh-guided life. So the first point today, Deborah Dunbar, is this. Henry, is this. she gonna kill me, boy. She's going to kill me. I'm going to get it now. I'm in trouble, Dunbar. I can't fix it. I'm trying to fix it now, but I can't fix it. But the first point I want to make is simply this. This dichotomy suggests that the Spirit, Caleb, does not impose himself. See, Paul just said it. He said, you can choose to live by the flesh, Ken, or you can choose, Eric, to live by the Spirit. But you make the choice, and then the Spirit responds accordingly, Cheryl. That's kind of serious. That's kind of serious. But it also emphasizes the fact, Lacey, that the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead, treats us just like the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son don't impose themselves. You have to choose. So all three operate the same way. It's your choice. Now let's look at verses 8 and 9. Continuing, let's read. So then, everybody, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, once you make the choice, Pastor Taylor, to go with the spirit or go with the flesh, then if you go with the flesh, that's not pleasing God, or that's not pleasing the Spirit, who is God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So once you make the choice for the flesh, in that fleshy choice, you don't please the Spirit. Verse 9, come on. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if you allow the Spirit to come in, you are free from fleshly dominance. I'll say amen for you. Amen. But the choice is whose? Say mine. Yeah, it's mine. It's mine. Okay. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He is not his. Now, let's go to the statement, that long statement I've been using at the beginning of all these sermons. We have that ready for me? Yeah. Okay. No. The statement, there we go. Oh, man. I think we can see it. Let's try. Together, the promised blessing claimed by faith brings all others in its train. Now, let me just pause. We've been saying in the first three sermons, preached in the second service, the Spirit of God brings all the other blessings. I'm still, Jocelyn, trying to get that in my head. And we've been challenging the congregation with this thought. If the Spirit of God brings all the blessings in its train, then maybe I should be spending more time praying for the Spirit. Not just for food, clothing, and shelter. Pray for the Spirit, because we just read, if I pray for the Spirit, what happens? All the other come in its train. We've been saying it for years. We just didn't apply it to the Spirit. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all this other stuff I'm praying for will be, Carl, added to me. So here it is. Let's keep reading. It is given, come on, it is given according to the riches of the grace of Christ. Come on. And he is ready to supply. And I do not apologize for pausing on this again, Pastor Jeff, that our capacity to receive is key here. Now, I've still got to preach a sermon about how to increase your capacity. But he only fills you with as much as you can handle. How does one then develop this capacity? I almost need to go on and preach that right now, but I won't. But here's a serious statement. Let's go to the next phrase. Read. If all were willing. Look how this thing keeps coming back on me. If what? So there's a, if I don't have it, it's because I'm not, don't be afraid to say it, I'm not, read. If all were willing, all would be filled. There it is. Read on. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter of what? Little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Keep reading. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power, which is necessary for the growth of the church and prosperity of the church, and which would bring all blessings in its train, is lacking. I love the way the old lady writes, in infinite plenitude. That's a phrase right there. In infinite plenitude. That means it's ready. It's at our prayer's fingertips. Infinite. No limit. No limit. Plentitude. Wow. Now, this is disturbing me, Ken, because if the church is at this point in its existence, James Armstrong, powerless, and yet the power is available in infinite plentitude, but we found out by reading, it's a matter little thought of. We're praying for the wrong things. Our capacity is limited, you see? In other words, if the Holy Spirit is limited right now in the church, whose fault is it? Yeah, don't say ours. Say mine. Don't say ours. That kind of spreads it out. Say mine. Yeah, mine. Take full responsibility for the drought. Now, let's move ahead. Now, we've learned in the sermons thus far that there are three that bear record in heaven, 1 John 5:7. The Holy Spirit has given us a gift by the Son, John 14:16-7. The Holy Spirit is active throughout human history. Going to spend some time on that this morning. And that the gift must be valued. Oh, I love teaching way more than preaching. Now, in my sermon last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is a partner with Christ in dealing with our brokenness. Remember that? Some of you were there. The willingness of the Holy Spirit, which is amazing to me, the willingness of the Holy Spirit to assist human beings is throughout Scripture. It begins, of course, in Genesis 1-2, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters at creation. So, Rick, from the beginning, the Spirit was right there. But then there is a text that sometimes we run by, Genesis 6:3. That begins to see, show me, the willingness of the Spirit in terms of helping sinful human beings. Genesis 6:3. Now, this is not a text we normally think about in terms of the Spirit's willingness to help, but it's right there in front of us. Genesis 6:3. Reading, come on, and the Lord said, what? For he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Now, my spirit shall not always strive, which means the spirit has been striving. See, this is a biblical announcement that the antediluvians, the people before the flood, were under the influence of the... We just read it. And the word strive comes from a Hebrew word that means to rule with appeal. So these ancient people that lived for centuries, whose level of wickedness had to be hidden by God by a flood. Ellen White explains the patriarchs and prophets that many of the waste places, the deserts and places like Antarctica, these are places where there was great sin. So God covered it up. Beneath that ice, beneath those sands, are things hidden from us that antediluvians did, and the Spirit, with these people with great minds and long lives, strove, worked with them, appealed to them. So from the earliest days of rebellion, God's Spirit was trying to help humanity. We've never been on our own in sin without the Holy Spirit. And you better be thankful right now that in spite of things you may have done, things, Rod, that we don't want anybody to know about that we've done, you should be thankful that in those moments the Spirit of God was striving with you. Can you say amen? That guilt was a blessing. That lack of peace was a gift. It was evidence that even in your rebellion, God's Spirit was working. Are we thankful this morning? I'm definitely thankful, folks. I'm so thankful to God. Oh, I'm so thankful to God for this simple truth of the Spirit's power, striving with the ancients, striving with us. Now, how does the Bible unfold this concept the pastor is now presenting? of the Spirit being right there with us in sin. I want you to think about that. You're smoking a cigarette, the Spirit is right there. The glass of beer is turned up, Holy Ghost right there with you. Oh, folk, you could just sit there calm. I thank Him. Driving down the highway, one of my sins as a young man. Love to drive fast. 80, 95 miles an hour, Spirit right there. Riding with that idiot in that car. Spirit of God. Yeah. Oh, Holy Ghost, thank you that in my foolishness you stuck by me. Or you wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be sitting here. So, I'm going to deal with two people. Pastor Coles has been doing a beautiful job with Samson, but I'm going to tread into his turf and talk about Samson for a few minutes. Now, Samson, of course, was the king of the stupid. Yeah, if you were passing out awards for stupid, Samson, you come first. You come first. You know, anytime you can lay your head in a woman's lap, three times. Samson, Philistines are here. He jumps up, does whatever he's going to do, and then lays his head back down. Three times. This is a man who deserves awards for stupidity. Yet, God having called him, God having empowered him, look what God does. Judges 13:25. Now, we're going to go real fast. 13:25. I won't take time to look at the screen. I'm just going to look at my Bible and keep rolling. 13:25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanah Dan, between Zorah and Eshtahol. Spirit of God moved upon him. Judges 14:6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. This is a man who don't have much sense. You don't have much sense. Here's a man who's practiced ignoring God's will. I want this to sink in. And the Spirit of God did what? Came how? Mightily upon him. So forth and so on. 14:19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. 15:14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord did what? Three times. By the time you get to chapter 15, he's already shown that he will do what he wants to do, the way he wants to do it, anytime he wants to do it. And yet God's Spirit did not leave him. Could somebody say amen? This is not in the Bible to entertain you. It's letting you know how desperately willing, that's my subject, the Spirit is willing, how desperately willing the Spirit of God is to labor with you even in your foolishness. Still providing power, still providing life, still providing opportunity. And he's not doing it as a sanction. See, God operates different from us. When we don't like what somebody's doing, we make sure they know it. What God does, he does the opposite. He doesn't like what you're doing, but he just stays right there with you, hoping that in time you will use just plain common sense. You see it, Kathy? Yeah. So we read four texts. Samson. We laugh about him. And yet to show you how successful the Spirit of God can be, when you go to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 32, Samson is listed in Faith's Hall of Fame. You ought to be shouting right now. He stays with you in your unrighteousness because he believes in time you can be righteous. Now, I'm uplifted. I don't know how you feel right now. I just feel better about the whole thing right now. Because his patience can bear fruit. Don't stop praying for that child. Don't stop praying for that wayward person. Don't stop praying for that wayward spouse. Don't stop praying for that wayward boss or friend. Don't stop praying. Why? We have proof in the Bible through Samson that God just keeps working and keeps working and keeps trying. And when you're at your worst and everybody's written you off, the Spirit of God is still right there. In fact, when Samson commits that act of killing the Philistines, the last act of his life, though the Spirit of God is not specifically mentioned, he looked to the Lord and prayed, "Lord, just one more time." Isn't that something? Just one more time. And the Lord heard his cry. Well, I know the Spirit was there because Romans 8 tells me I can't pray a prayer without the Holy Spirit taking the prayer to heaven. Y'all too calm for me. Oh, this thing thrills my heart. There are people right now in our church wrestling with self and sin. They need to hear this good news. And you who know people who are wrestling in this way, don't stop praying. Don't give up. The Spirit of God is busy with the worst of us. So Samson is an example. Another example of this. The story doesn't end quite as well, but it's still there. Remember King Saul? Really a tragic kind of a story. He didn't want to be king. You recall the Bible when they found him? Where did they find him? He was hiding. Big, tall, hunk of a man. Nice looking fellow. Said he was head and shoulders over every man in Israel. Looked like a king. Well, go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel. Let's again read some text real quickly. 1 Samuel, we'll start in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 6. I want you to see this. 1 Samuel 10 and verse 6. And once again, we see this manifestation of God's patience. Verse 6, 1 Samuel 10. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Saul was filled and did what? He prophesied. And was so filled, he wasn't the same person. Now, while you're chewing on that, now I've got to slip the serious stuff in there. We know how Saul's life ended, don't we? The Bible says God wouldn't even talk to him. The Lord would not speak to him by vision or dream. It's in the Bible. Some opening text should have alerted you. My spirit shall not, finish it, always strive with man. Simple sentence. You can no more take the Holy Spirit for granted than you can take God and the Son for granted. And for the Holy Spirit, and there's a sermon coming on the sin against the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit becomes particularly offended, Jeff, because he lives inside of us. And so, Elder, he knows what he has done, Anwar. See, he's all up in your stuff. Remember I told you in a sermon, two sermons ago, that the Holy Spirit moves in, sits in your trash while it's still stinking and smelling. And then starts cleaning up. But he goes in when it's putrid and ugly and unacceptable. He sits down, claims space. And because of the intense and deep work that he does, the Spirit does not take kindly to you ultimately just spitting in his face. And so, though we can read over and over again, with 1 Samuel 10:10, 1 Samuel 10:10, when they came there, to the hill. There was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him. 1 Samuel 11 and verse 6. The Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news. He had this experience several times of feeling, but he kept going on and doing his own thing. Have you ever read that text in Isaiah? You shall hear a word behind you saying, finish it with me. This is the Spirit of God carries on personal conversations with you. You've heard him. Don't sit there and act like you've heard him. If I stopped preaching now and had folks stand up and testify, all of us could talk about moments when we literally heard the Spirit say, don't do that. Don't open your mouth. You said it to your wife. Don't open your mouth. Just let that fellow have his moment. Just don't say anything. Because sin is coming if you crack your lips. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God. So, the Spirit departed from Saul. I'll just leave that there for now. But he worked with him. That's the point. We leave Saul with Samson. He worked with him all the way through to victory. With Saul, he worked with him until Saul just wouldn't listen. See, I'm back to the first point of the sermon. Being filled is a choice. Are you with me now? I know this is sober. This is a sober part of the sermon. You're getting all quiet on me. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. Well, we should be thinking about it. So, the Holy Spirit is willing. Let's close this out now. The Holy Spirit is willing because of who we are. Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41. The Spirit is willing because of who we are. Watch and pray, Jesus is talking, lest you enter into temptation. Now finish it. The flesh is weak. Now the Spirit there is in small caps. This is not the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is often willing, but your flesh is always weak. This is why the Spirit is so willing to help you. Remember, where did I say he lives? See, I don't care what people think of you. You know, as a pastor and a preacher and here and there, you know, people heap all kind of things on you. Well, pastor, you're so-and-so and so-and-so. I'll let that go in this ear and get out this one as fast as it can. Because I know he knows. And he's willing because of what he knows to help me. And Jesus is talking to the disciples there. He's asked them to pray. And they can't even get their minds together enough to pray, to respond to the request. And Jesus says, I understand what's going on here. You want to pray, but your flesh is weak. Thank God that he did not give up on them. Psalms 53:3. There's none that doeth right, no, not one. Isaiah 40:64:6. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short. What I'm saying to you, the information that the Spirit has about the human race has not turned them off. It has turned them on. And so Jesus said in our last sermon, he said, look, I got to leave. If I don't leave, he won't come. Because the whole church, every member of the church, is going to need godly power. Jesus, thank you for your 3.5 years. Let me take over now so I can fill them all at once, wherever they are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when the Spirit comes in, let's put my last statement up there. When the Spirit of God takes possession. Can we get that up there? Yeah. all saints of God. This is delicious. Let's read it now. Come on. When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart. No, you're not ready to read on yet. You got to suck on that. Come on. Hey! Does what to my life? Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you like you the way you are. I'd like to be transformed. There's still too much of me in me. And when me rises up, Anwar, it's not good. Kind of rose up this morning. I still don't understand why people drive 35 in the outside lane of the Beltway. I'm trying to figure that thing. I'm 75. I ain't got it yet. There's four lanes. Get over in that one. I'm on my way to church. Gotta preach. All right. Anwar said, let it alone. Okay. My team knows me. Just trying to get to church. Transform. And in moments like that, then you feel bad. You're going to go to the saints and talk about how you ought to be filled with the Spirit. And you, on the Beltway, on the way to church to preach the sermon, upset. But I gained the victory. I didn't honk my horn. I was almost there, Dunbar. I was going to lay on that thing and scare them all the way over into the weeds. Didn't do it. God knows I didn't do it. Transformation. That's what I need. Come on, let's read on. Come on. Sinful thoughts are put away. I didn't honk. Read on. Evil deeds are renounced. I confess my sins before you. Love, humility, peace. Come on, read it. Take the place of anger, envy, and strife. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit a hand. Isn't that something? This is what the Holy Spirit is willing to do. And I offer him to you today. By the grace of Almighty God, your best friend, the Holy Spirit, your inter-sanctum power, the Holy Spirit, your intimate friend, the Holy Spirit. Are you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Would you stand with me? Oh, this is good news, folks. This was the gospel this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ through his Spirit. Now, let's bow our heads together. Let's just bow our heads together, please. Lord, I close this worship with prayer. It just seems appropriate to pray. Holy Spirit, come and bless us. Heal us of the infirmity of self. During this past week, there were moments we just did not listen to you at all. You know it. Self took charge. We read in Romans, we can't have both. It's one or the other, either the flesh or the spirit. Help me, Lord. I continue, Lord, to challenge this congregation that there be more personal praying about the gift of the Holy Spirit, that our prayers not just be filled with a laundry list of aches and pains and wants and needs, and we omit our greatest need, which is Holy Ghost power. And so in this prayer, Lord, I appeal again. These wonderful people, Lord, you love all of us. Oh, thank you for your love. You have to remind us. Because when the money is short, I want to pray about money. When I'm not getting along with folks, I want to pray on those folks. But let your Spirit say, ask for me. Pray that I infuse you. Lord, teach us to start our prayers with asking for the Holy Spirit. That gives us peace that all these other things we're so concerned about will be taken care of if we put what is important first. Now, Lord, there may be someone here this morning who's not yet fully given themselves to you or indicated such. Let that person, before this day is over, call this church or go online and say, I want to call from one of the pastors. I want to talk about making my life fully his. That's the appeal today. I'm going to let you do it that intimately, that quietly, that privately. You can ask for a Bible study. You may even ask to transfer. But that person who's not said a full yes to Jesus and the Spirit right now. And if you're online, the same response. You can respond to Pastor Cosley Joseph right now. Let him know you've heard and you want us to pray for you and you want to give yourself fully to Jesus. You hear that voice behind you saying, this is the way. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning. We've enjoyed this study together, and we've been encouraged by it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.